From New York to Bolinas, you should have seen us when we're young. We were hard up for money then again. We were hard, and those Christmases in Central Park were cold, but we forgot. Turn to figurines and memories, the music hasn't stopped. Highway 1. Here's to one more Technicolor afternoon of love, heading south on the shoreline. Highway 1. The King owns cordons.
Welcome back. The program is Arts Desire. I'm your host, Julie Motz. And for the second part of the show, we have with us the producer of a wonderful documentary called Painting Bolinas. So welcome, Wendy Elkin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And the music that we came in with is a song that was written particularly for this wonderful documentary. Perhaps you could just tell us what gave you the idea to, well, first of all, what the film is about. Obviously, it's called Painting Bolinas, so it's about Bolinas. But it's a very particular take on Bolinas. So, Wendy, tell us what the film is about and what drew you to make it.
I wanted to make this film because I had met Peter Lee Brownlee while I was serving as an art commissioner for the city of Mill Valley. And at the time, I was doing a photo event, and I was looking for donations to give to people who entered the event and to give them, you know, sort of a thank you gift. And I found a box of his beautiful cards with these bright, colorful representations of places all over the Bay Area, landscapes and towns. And I asked them about them at the Book Depot in Mill Valley, and they called Peter and asked him if he wanted to donate to the event. And generously, you know, he said to give me as many as I wanted. So after the event, I went to decided to track Peter down. I mean, he was so generous in donating his cards, he didn't even know me. So that touched me. And all I knew was that, you know, his name was Peter Lee Brownlee and that he was an artist and he lived somewhere in Bolinas. Since I didn't have an address, you know, I had to ask, and all people could tell me was that he lived behind the Bolinas gas station. So I went to Bolinas and found the only gas station in town, of course, and parked my car. And there it was. I walked into this world like no other I've ever experienced. I approached his home. It encountered on the way. It was sort of shocking in one way that he had these paintings lying all over, and he had this motley cast of characters that were living with him, and a pack of cats. And I was entranced, really. And I knew right there and there that I wasn't going to turn back, and that there was a story. I didn't know at the time exactly what the story was, but I did know that that I had never met anyone like Peter, so wise and so zany, and, you know, with such zest for life that I...
And so controversial in the community.
And so controversial in the community. You know, he is beloved in the community by some, but as all big personalities, you know, are, he has his critics.
And I also like that you dare to open the film with someone who's extremely critical of him. After all, here's this film that is essentially all about this guy, and the opening statement is by this woman who really has cast quite a critical eye on our hero.
Yeah, she does, and I did that for a reason. I actually used her as bookends for the movie because I thought that it gave people a really good idea about not only what they were getting into right from the beginning. I wanted to grab them right out of the gate, but also that it kind of painted a picture of Bolinas in a way where many people might not know about it, and know that, you know, Peter, this guy who they really don't know yet, has some people that just don't like him at all. And so there it was, and it was very fortunate that Tracy was just standing outside, and we asked her if she wanted to be filmed, and she, you know, was very cooperative and really wanted to be in the film, and she had something to say, and as you can say, she said it.
And what, as you got to know Peter better and better through the filming, what surprised you most about what you discovered about this man?
About the man?
Yeah.
What surprised me at first changed in the end. He seemed very cantankerous. He seemed almost like he was protecting his home there and himself by not opening up a lot. And I knew that there was, you know, this incredible man way down deep. And I, the longer that I stayed with him and got to know him, it became apparent that he is a very generous, loving, kind person that, you know, has a way about him that sometimes make people not think that. But in actuality, he, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but he is a very generous person. And I don't know if it was apparent to you in the movie.
Well, from all the people he has, you know, it seems if someone shows up and says, I want to stay in your house, he essentially says yes.
Well, and the other thing, too, Julie, is that he always called his place the House of Refuge. He never refused anyone. They always could, you know, stay there, have a dry place to stay. And he was proud of the fact, especially, that he gave Latinos a place to stay because he didn't like the way that Bolinas treated them. And so he was very, very generous and didn't really, you know how many people lived with him at the time. He thought maybe 20, but he wasn't sure. And he didn't care, you know. He just didn't care.
You know, I think one of the most surprising things for me about the film, when he began to tell his life story, was that he had this very successful business background. I mean, his history, he wasn't a bohemian his entire life.
Right. He actually had a very successful furniture business in New York City. He designed furniture and made a fortune. And he had a house in the Hamptons. He has a house in the country. He has an apartment in New York City on the Upper East Side. He is, you know, he has given everything to his daughters, and so there isn't anything in his name. And, you know, Peter's the type of person that loves to make money, like his daughters say in the movie, but he doesn't care to have it. And so he is really the happiest when he is painting and just doing his own thing. And material possessions are not important to him at all. If he can just have a ball and paint and, you know, hoot and holler and do these beautiful paintings every day, then he's just as happy as a clam. I mean, yeah. He's very, very content. But he did, he was very, very successful and realized that through, I guess, some stresses and whatnot, that it really wasn't who he was. And in, like, one way, it brought the family down, but in another way, it got him back to who he was really about, which was this painter. And he came out and he had known about Bolinas when he was a little boy, and so he wanted to come back. And he initially had gone to San Francisco. He was actually born in San Francisco, is a native Californian, and lived on California Street. And that's where he lived for a long time. And then he, you know, later on went to New York. He was in the Merchant Marines as well. And so, you know, when you see this big gruff man who appears bigger than life, and you look at the paintings that he does that are so whimsical and so childlike, and you wonder how does this work? I mean, how does this work come out of this great big man? And you know that he is just he goes very deep, like, you know, we say in the movie. He is a very gentle soul, and he expresses himself in this way through his painting.
And had you made documentaries about artists before, or was this your first?
No, this is my first film and my first feature film. I was really cutting off more, you know, more than I could chew. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was encouraged to go ahead and do it, even though I had a very little experience. I transitioned into film from photography over about 3-year period, and slowly started to learn bits and pieces. My husband really encouraged me. He thought I could learn by doing, and he became best friends with Peter as well, and he was the one that sort of enabled Peter to trust enough that we were going to do a serious and a very honest effort on his behalf. And when we talked to his daughters, you know, I had some reservations about whether we should interview him in the house, or I wasn't really sure of what they would approve of, and I did want their support. And, you know, surprisingly enough, they were wonderful. They said, you know, Wendy, we want you to do this movie. We don't understand why it hasn't been done already, but whatever you do, show everything. Mm-hmm. It's really important because it's who he is. And it's true. And I think that some people could be put off a little bit about some of the things they see in the movie as far as, you know, where he was living. But then when they look at the bigger picture of how this man is so happy doing his own thing and really not affected by any, you know, things that are around him that seem chaotic and unorganized, he doesn't care. He had people coming in and out of his house every day that just loved coming and seeing him, and he thrived on it. He loves people coming and visiting him. And still, you know, still now, he's bedridden. He is probably the busiest 90-year-old I know. He's starting a new business with lanterns and nightlights, and he's so ambitious. You know, he just doesn't quit. And so I feel like, you know, one of the themes in the movie was to enjoy yourself, you know, because Peter always said, enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
Yes, and so, it's a song I remember from my childhood.
It became, it became a larger theme in the movie, and I think it's sage advice for everyone.
Yeah. It's Art's Desire with Julie Motz. We're talking with Wendy Elkin, the producer of Painting Bolinas, a thoroughly delightful film, colorful on every level, I would say. Colorful because it shows very colorful paintings, because it shows the landscape beautifully, and emotionally, it is it takes you through a wide range of emotions, really into somebody's life, into an artist and a craftsman and a crafty artist and an artistic craftsman. A very, very fascinating person. And what would you say Peter's feeling about Bolinas is at this point?
You know, I as you saw in the film, one of the issues that came up was that an artist like Peter that lived really close to the Bolinas Museum had not had a show. They have not given him a show, and it was interesting to me that, you know, this man who I think is Bolinas' national treasure was not given a show. I mean, it's like, why is there not a painting hanging in the Bolinas Museum in their permanent collection, you know?
Did people come from the museum come to the screening you had in Bolinas? I know you screened the film in Bolinas.
Not that I know of. Maybe, but not to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that that Peter doesn't care. You know, he doesn't care. If he gets to paint and do what he wants and he knows that people enjoy his work, he has no ego attached to it. He really, really is a true artist in that sense, in that he is just, you know, lives up in his head a lot with his painting, and really it is the journey for him of being able to put that paint on a canvas and paint, you know, what he sees. And it is all through his eyes. And so he doesn't care. He had all the prestige. He made a fortune. He had all of that. He's not impressed with fame and fortune or even recognition. I think he had a lot of fun when we made the movie.
You certainly get that feeling, you know, that he's being entertained himself as well as being entertaining.
Well, it is, I think, a very entertaining film. I think that, you know, it does stir emotion. I feel that it is heartwarming and tearful, and there's something for everyone. I think it makes you laugh and you cry. But I think it's funny, and I think that that's a rarity in documentaries today.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for the certain ironic edge in certain Michael Moore films.
Right.
So, do you have other screenings planned in the Bay Area if people want to see this? How might they see this film?
Well, this is the thing, is that I have entered film festivals all across the country and in Europe, and I need to wait and see where they get accepted, where the film gets in, and before I do another screening. I did a screening in Bolinas primarily to thank the community, and so I decided to premiere it there because the community had been so kind to allow me to come in. And I have to tell you, we were very sensitive to the people in Bolinas in regards to that they are like xenophobics. You know, they don't, you know, are not that fond of outsiders.
And well, what are you going to do when the film is hugely successful and people come flocking to Bolinas and they tell the residents it's all because of your film, Wendy? What are you going to do?
Well, you know, a friend of mine said, I hope it doesn't become a sideways, you know, where where people are coming in buses. But no, I don't think so. I think that I think that people will be able to see it's beautiful. I don't think that people will be able to find it that comes from far away, because, you know, I didn't address the issue that much, but it is brought up in the beginning about how, you know, they've taken the sign down 36 times and they...
It's sort of, if you don't know where it is, you don't deserve to go there.
Right. And it's not, you know, like they say, it's not politically correct to advertise outside of Bolinas. And so they are very careful about, you know, sort of who they accept there and who they don't. And I think that they are smart in protecting themselves, because it is a beautiful, natural place that is protected by their appreciation for nature. And so, you know, I understand that. But it was touch and go there for a while. And, you know, it was a little difficult filming at times because some people didn't want to be filmed. But most people, after a while, they got used to seeing us. The camera was secondary. And they just... They really just took it for granted. And the people that sort of were peering around the corners looking, you know, at what we were doing, actually ended up, you know, feeling confident enough and trusting us to come forward and speak on film. The others, you know, absolutely did not want to be filmed, and that was fine too. But it was wonderful the way the community embraced us, and we did, you know, we hung out in Smiley's Saloon a long time too, you know, just trying to get that familiarity so that they could trust us and that to know that I was not doing anything that would put them in a bad light at all. Actually, the people that are in the film, I became very endeared to because they are such likable people, and they're just great people, you know. People that, many of the people have next to nothing, very little material possessions, and they are very, very happy. I mean, not one of them complained to me about, you know, their life at all, and it was humbling for me. You know, I learned a lot from producing and directing.
And how did both the people who were in the film and the people who weren't respond, the Bolinas residents, when they saw the film? What kind of response did you get?
Well, it, at first, you know, I got really close to the time that the film was going to start, you know, and I was a little concerned that maybe no one was going to show up, and so I just wasn't sure. But the community center filled up, and people brought their dogs, and then more chairs had to be put out, and you know, I was a nervous wreck, thinking I could be run out of town on a rail, since so many people attended were also in the film. But I received an overwhelmingly positive response. There were lots of laughter and comments and clapping, and the applause at the end was deafening. I was really blown away.
Wow. And when Peter saw the film, was there anything he wanted changed after he saw it?
No. He actually has not seen the entire film. He saw up to a point, and then he had been carsick on the way down. You know, he doesn't get out that much, and he had been carsick, and so his caretaker Robin had to take him back home. And so, you know, and it's funny because it's so typical of Peter. I've said to him several times, you know, Peter, do you want to see the film, you know? And he's just like, you know, he's moved on. You know, he thinks it's great and everything, but I don't think he's that interested in seeing it. I think that he's more interested in that people liked it. And I think a lot of people have told him that they really liked it, and so so he's happy with it, and I feel like I lucky that I got a good friend from this, and my husband got a good friend, and that there are some good things that happened as a result of this film for Peter.
Well, it's certainly considering it's your first film, shows, you know, how passion nurtures talent, because the film is, you know, utterly delightful. We don't have much time left, but what were there any things that you were longing to put in the film that you just didn't have room for?
Well, let me think. I think that what I really miss is that I couldn't speak about the characters that frequented Peter's, because it was too peripheral to the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, there can and there should be a whole film about that, but there is a strong history in Bolinas and so many collective stories. I sometimes think there should be a whole miniseries about the, you know, stories that have gone down in Bolinas, specifically around Peter. And so, yeah, I wish I could have spoken more about the characters, and really some of the characters. I have enough footage that I could actually, you know, make a couple of shorts.
Well, there is one character, the Hispanic man, who talks rather at length and has obviously been there for quite some time.
Carlos?
Yes.
Right. Carlos was with Peter for 12 years. And he cooked for him and did things for Peter, and Peter gave him a place to live and was very generous, with him, and they were very good friends.
I know at the end of the film we see that Peter moves, actually, and moves into this very beautiful home that a friend has offered him. What happened to his property? Did the people go on living there? What happened after that?
No, it was really time for Peter to go. His home was, things were starting to kind of, you know, shut down around him a little bit. His electricity got turned off. His bathroom was being remodeled, but it wasn't finished. And just slowly, it just was a sign that he needed he needed to leave, and I thought that it was going to be the end of the movie at the art show when we gave him the art show, but quickly I got a camera guy together to go up there to be able to show him moving up to Ralph, and I was thinking that he was going to miss this place, that, gosh, he has so much history and paintings, and, I mean, it's just, he has so much there. And I asked him, and he said, no, I'm not going to miss it, I can't wait to go. Yeah. So,
and there's something very satisfying for the audience to see that move. It feels like a resolution. Otherwise, you sort of feel like, well, what's going to happen to this guy? And there's a feeling of oh, he's going to be okay. I found it as a film viewer very, very satisfying.
Oh, that's really good to hear. Yeah. I think so too. I think so too. And I think that it addresses the aging process, and shows how one man did it his own way.
Mm-hmm.
Peter could have gone the traditional route and gone into assisted living but for him, he stayed in his place and he stayed, among all of the people that lived with him and his house the way it was, because it spelled freedom for him.
And of course, Peter is Peter Lee Brownlee, the main figure in Wendy Elkin's wonderful film, Painting Bellinas. So we will hope that you do very, very well at all the festivals.
Thank you very much.
It gets a wide distribution in the Bay Area, and that everybody can see it. So, Wendy, thank you so much for making this film, and I will look forward to your future work.
Thank you very much.
This is Arts Desire. I'm your host, Julie Motz. I'll be back this time next week with Hot Tech Cool Science.